When my brain runs loops that feel harshly judgmental, counterproductive, or out of control, I wait 90 seconds for the emotional, physiological response to dissipate, and then I speak to my brain as though it is a group of children. I say with sincerity, "I appreciate your ability to think thoughts and feel emotions, but I'm really not interested in thinking these thoughts or feeling these emotions anymore. Please stop bringing this stuff up." Essentially, I am consciously asking my brain to stop hooking into specific thought patterns. Different people do it differently, of course. Some folks just use the phrase, "cancel, cancel," or they exclaim to their brain, "busy, I'm too busy," or they say, "enough, enough, enough already, knock it off." Simply thinking these thoughts with my inner authentic voice, however, is often not enough for me to get the message across to my storyteller, who is invested in performing its normal function. I have found that when I attach an appropriate feeling to these phrases and think them with genuine affect, my storyteller is more amenable to this type of communication. If I'm really having trouble getting my brain to listen, I add a kinesthetic component to my message, like waggling my pointed finger in the air or standing firm with my hands on my hips. A scolding mother is more effective when she says what she means with passion and communicates her message multidimensionally. I wholeheartedly believe that 99.999% of the cells in my brain and body want me to be happy, healthy, and successful. A tiny portion of the storyteller, however, does not seem to be unconditionally attached to my joy and is excellent at exploring thought patterns that have the potential to really derail my feeling of inner peace. This group of cells has been called many things. Some of my favorites include the peanut gallery, the board of directors, the itty-bitty committee. These are the cells in our verbal mind that are totally resourceful in their ability to run our loops of doom and gloom. These cells tap into our negative attributes of jealousy, fear, and rage. They thrive when they are whining, complaining, and sharing with everyone about how awful everything is. In extreme situations of cellular disregard, I use my authentic voice to put my language center's peanut gallery on a strict time schedule. I give my storyteller full permission to whine rampantly between 9 and 9:30 a.m. and then again between 9 and 9:30 p.m. If it accidentally misses whine time, it is not allowed to re-engage in that behavior until its next allotted appointment. My cells quickly get the message that I am serious about not hooking into those negative loops of thought, but only if I am persistent and determined enough to pay attention to what circuits are running in my brain. I'm a devout believer that paying attention to our self-talk is vitally important for our mental health. In my opinion, making the decision that internal verbal abuse is not acceptable behavior is the first step toward finding deep inner peace. It has been extremely empowering for me to realize that the negative storyteller portion of my brain is only about the size of a peanut. Just imagine how sweet life was when those cranky cells were silent. Recovering my left mind has meant that I have had to give voice to all of my cells again. However, I have learned that in order to protect my overall mental health, it is necessary for me to tend the garden of my mind and keep these cells in check. I have found that my storyteller simply needs a little disciplining directive from my conscious mind about what I want versus what I find unacceptable. Thanks to our open line of communication, my authentic self has much more say over what is going on with this particular group of cells, and I spend very little time hooked into unwanted or inappropriate thought patterns. Having said that, however, I am often humored by the scheming antics of my storyteller in response to this type of directive. I have found that just like little children, these cells may challenge the authority of my authentic voice and test my conviction. Once asked to be silent, they tend to pause for a moment and then immediately re-engage those forbidden loops. If I am not persistent with my desire to think about other things and consciously initiate new circuits of thought, then those uninvited loops can generate new strength and begin monopolizing my mind again. To counter their activities, I keep a handy list of three things available for me to turn my consciousness toward when I am in a state of need. 1. I remember something I find fascinating that I would like to ponder more deeply. 2. I think about something that brings me terrific joy. Or 3. I think about something I would like to do. When I am desperate to change my mind, I use such tools. I have also found that when I am least expecting it, feeling either physically tired or emotionally vulnerable, those negative circuits have a tendency to raise their hurtful heads. The more aware I remain about what my brain is saying and how those thoughts feel inside my body, the more I own my power in choosing what I want to spend my time thinking about and how I want to feel. If I want to retain my inner peace, I must be willing to consistently and persistently tend the garden of my mind moment by moment and be willing to make the decision 1,000 times a day.